Hypertension is a common problem in our society. A couple of the more common treatments for hypertension are ACE inhibitors and ARBs. In anesthesia, you're likely to come to hate these drugs when patients have taken them prior to a general anesthetic. I've even seen issues in patients who took them prior to having a MAC anesthetic. Today I'll discuss why these drugs can be so problematic, and by the end of the discussion you should have an understanding of how they work, as well as some potential treatments for the refractory hypotension that can ensue. In the body, we have three primary systems that regulate our blood pressure: the autonomic system, the renin-angiotensin-aldosterone system, and the vasopressin system. These three systems work in concert to maintain a normal blood pressure. For the purposes of this discussion, I'll primarily be discussing how each system works to bring your blood pressure up, because that's usually what we're concerned about in anesthesia. When blood pressure drops, the autonomic nervous system sends out signals, and alpha and beta 1 responses are the most important to us. Alpha 1 stimulation causes increased IP3 and DAG. These second messengers increase the calcium availability within smooth muscles, which cause smooth muscle contraction, which results in vasoconstriction. Beta 1 stimulation increases adenylate cyclase activity, which in turn increases the second messenger cyclic AMP. Cyclic AMP causes increased heart rate, contractility, and renin release. So this is how the autonomic system responds to decreased blood pressure. The renin-angiotensin-aldosterone system is also very important. Just a quick review of how this system works. You have juxtaglomerular cells in the kidneys, which are located mainly in the walls of the afferent arterioles immediately proximal to the glomeruli. With their location in mind, there are three major mechanisms for renin release. 1. Pressure-sensitive baroreceptors in the juxtaglomerular cells respond to decreased arterial pressure and increased release of renin. 2. Decreased sodium chloride delivery to the macula densa cells stimulates renin release. Decreased blood pressure can cause this because with decreased pressure comes decreased flow, so the macula densa would see less sodium chloride. And 3. Increased sympathetic nervous system activity, like you might see in response to decrease in arterial pressure, stimulates renin release. This is caused by beta 1 activity in the juxtaglomerular cells. Sympathetic nervous system activity also increases the sensitivity of the renal baroreceptors and macula densa, so numbers 1 and 2 respond even more profoundly. Now that renin is released, it acts enzymatically to cause angiotensinogen to release angiotensin 1. Angiotensin 1 is converted into angiotensin 2 by angiotensin-converting enzyme, also known as ACE. This mainly happens in the lungs, but the kidneys and blood vessels have some ACE as well and can cause some local conversion. Angiotensin 2 is an extremely powerful vasoconstrictor. It also stimulates the release of aldosterone from the kidneys. Aldosterone causes the reabsorption of sodium and water, which expands fluid volume and increases blood pressure as well. So it should now make sense how and where ACE inhibitors and ARBs work. ACE inhibitors obviously inhibit the work of angiotensin-converting enzyme. And ARBs, or angiotensin receptor blockers, inhibit angiotensin 2 from binding to the angiotensin receptor. Our third and final system that works on maintaining our blood pressure is the vasopressin system. Vasopressin is also known as antidiuretic hormone. It is produced by the hypothalamus and transported to the posterior pituitary gland, where it is stored and later released when needed. Vasopressin binds to a couple of different receptors, and they're pretty easy to remember. It binds to the V1 receptor, and the V1 receptor acts upon our vasculature. I remember this because there is one vasculature, and V1 has the number 1. The V2 receptor works on the kidneys. You have two kidneys, so V2 has the number 2. In the kidneys, vasopressin binds the V2 receptor, which causes the insertion of aquaporins into the collecting duct. Aquaporins cause the reabsorption of water, which leads to increase in fluid volume. Vasopressin is a weak system by comparison to the autonomic nervous system and the renin-angiotensin-aldosterone systems in its effect on blood pressure. Now that we understand how each of these systems work, what's the big deal in taking an ARB or ACE inhibitor prior to anesthesia? Well, general anesthesia inhibits the autonomic nervous system. When a patient is taking an ACE inhibitor or ARB, the renin-angiotensin-aldosterone system is inhibited as well. So now you're only left with the vasopressin system, which, as I said before, is a weak system in controlling blood pressure. In these patients, you will find them to have refractory hypotension, sometimes referred to as vasoplegia. This doesn't always happen, but when it does, these patients' hypotension can be very difficult to treat. They frequently need larger than usual doses of phenylephrine and ephedrine to try to improve their blood pressure. You may find that you need to use drugs such as norepinephrine or epinephrine to maintain a safe blood pressure. Vasopressin is another drug that can be very helpful in these situations. It works well because this system has not been inhibited in any way by the general anesthetic or the ACE inhibitors or ARBs that your patient could have taken. You will frequently find that a bolus of vasopressin makes a huge difference in blood pressure. As far as dosing, you should dilute your vasopressin down to 1 unit per mil. Our vials usually come with 20 units per mil, so you'll drop 19 mils of saline and mix it with 1 mil of vasopressin from the vial, which will give you 1 unit per mil. You give 1 unit at a time, and I usually try to spread them out by at least 15 to 20 minutes because you really shouldn't give more than about 3 units per hour. The reason for this is vasopressin is very active in your abdominal vasculature, and giving larger doses can lead to ischemia. You can also run a vasopressin infusion. The usual accepted rates for vasodilatory shock are 0.01 to 0.04 units per minute. And speaking of abdominal vasculature, you can also run vasopressin for GI hemorrhage, in which cases it's considered to be off-label use, but its suggested dosing is 0.2 to 0.4 units per minute IV initially, and can be increased to as high as 0.8 units per minute. If you find yourself in the situation of refractory hypotension, you may also find that methylene blue is another helpful drug. Methylene blue acts by inhibiting nitric oxide synthetase, which is the enzyme responsible for the production of nitric oxide, a potent vasodilator. Nitric oxide works by increasing the formation of cyclic GMP, which causes vasodilation. So by inhibiting the production of nitric oxide, methylene blue inhibits vasodilation. An interesting note is the vasoconstrictive effects of methylene blue occur only during cases of nitric oxide upregulation, and thus increases in blood pressure are not seen when nitric oxide is given as a dye during straightforward procedures in non-vasoplegic patients. Methylene blue, like vasopressin, can compromise splanchnic perfusion. I found a variety of dosings for methylene blue. The doses can be as low as 1 mg per kilogram or as high as 7 mg per kilogram. Splanchnic perfusion compromise was noted at higher doses, such as 7 mg per kilogram. You can give a bolus dose, such as 1 to 2 mg per kilogram, or you can put 2 mg per kilogram into a 100 ml bag and infuse it over 30 minutes. I found one source that cited giving 2 mg per kilogram, followed by 0.25 to 2 milligrams per kilogram per hour. This is obviously not a commonly given drug, so if you're in a situation where it could be helpful, consulting pharmacy would not be a bad idea. In anesthesia, you should always be assessing the effectiveness of your interventions and looking ahead to the next three. Be proactive and act early. Don't wait until you've given 4 units of vasopressin, switch from phenylephrine infusion to a norepinephrine infusion, and are giving epinephrine boluses to decide you should call pharmacy and ask about methylene blue dosing. Vasoplegia is one of several reasons for refractory hypotension. It is your job to figure out the cause. I hope this discussion was enlightening and brought a few more concepts together for you.